May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Mary of Bethany, Mary Magdalene. When we first encounter the Lord Jesus in a profound way, there is this place where we give our life to him. But it's just the beginning of the journey. And the acts of surrender don't stop. They actually elevate as the years go by. As we are confronted with the love of Christ more and more, we're confronted with opportunities to give more to him, things we discovered that we didn't know that we hadn't given to him. So the life of surrender and the life of repentance doesn't get less as you mature. It actually grows. It becomes more intense because you understand more, you see more, and you're confronted more with his love, and his kindness causes us to want to repent more and more, to go deeper in the place of surrender. There's this life of Mary of Bethany is amazing to me. And for those of you who've been around a while, none of this is new, not unfamiliar. But I just want to show you this little sequence of Mary without reading all the scriptures, so you can go back and read them. And the first time that Mary Magdalene, or Mary of Bethany, who was a prostitute, who was also the sister of Martha and Lazarus, the first time she encountered Jesus, she took a great risk as a prostitute because she heard that he was in the house of a Pharisee. And prostitutes and Pharisees didn't mix real well. It was a place of deep rejection for any kind of sinner to be in the presence of a Pharisee. And yet she was desperate. She was desperate. Maybe she had talked to her brother and her sister a lot. Others, the testimony of how their lives had been changed in the presence of Christ. And somehow she thought she could find forgiveness and acceptance and change, but she finds herself in his house. It says this, verse 36 of Luke 7. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Then there's this conversation that goes on. And Jesus eventually says, because she's been forgiven much and realizes it, because she's encountered my unconditional love. It says in the next chapter, she was delivered from seven demons just in the presence of the love of God as it's expressed in the person of Christ. And the consequence of that is she just fell down before him. She brought this alabaster vial of perfume because she was prepared. She knew that something was going to happen. And I believe that the alabaster vial of perfume represented for her, like most Jewish women, her dowry, that one day she was going to give away. She was going to anoint her bridegroom on the night that their wedding would be consummated. She would anoint his feet and anoint his head with oil. And many times this alabaster vial, especially what she had, the amount she had was worth in our day maybe $30,000 to $50,000. So it's something that women kept and they kept themselves. And it says here that as she's being set free, as she's encountered, as she knows she's been forgiven much, she falls in love with Jesus. And she just worships him extravagantly and expresses her surrender to him extravagantly. And she takes some of the oil and she anoints his feet with oil as she's wiping his feet with her tears. This amazing expression of surrender and adoration and love for him at the very beginning of their relationship. In John chapter 11, this is after Lazarus was raised from the dead, and he's having dinner now with the apostles in the household. Lazarus was with them and Martha and Mary. And in verse 3 it says, and Mary therefore took a pound of very costly genuine spikenard oil and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance and the anointment. Again, we find her a second time at the feet of Jesus, just worshiping him. Another act of surrender, or maybe even deeper place, reenactment of what she had done. How many times have we, in our walk with the Lord, had gone back to that place when we knew what we know to do and radically surrender and just walked that out again, reenacted that in their own heart? People, marriages do a lot of time. They just reenact their wedding. This is an awesome thing to reaffirm their love. But here we have again her taking the oil and her anointing his feet and wiping his feet with her hair. But towards the end of his life, it says in Mark chapter 14 also the same story in Matthew 26. This is just a couple of days before his crucifixion. And it says in verse 3, "And while he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of costly perfume of pure nard. She broke the vial," didn't just open it, she broke it this time, "and poured it over his head. The towns previously she anointed his feet. This time she pours it over his head and she breaks it. It's all gone. She had anointed him with some the first time, with more the second time. This time, they're all gone. And the words that are used, but some were indignantly remarking to another, for what purpose has this perfume been wasted?" And they use the word wasted because it's all gone now. It's not like there's anything left. It's all gone. The whole thing is gone. "For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii and money given to the poor." And they were scolding her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. For the poor you always have with you, and whenever you wish you can do them good, but do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly, truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, that which also this woman has done shall be spoken of in memory of her." You see, none of the guys got it that Jesus was going to die. Even though he's been telling them that he was going to die, they just don't get it because they didn't want to hear it. But she understood. The only two people that seemed to understand that he was going to die was John the Beloved, who had laid his head on the breast of Christ and heard his heartbeat, and then Mary of Bethany, Mary of Magdalene. She got it. And what she did was she understood. She had come to the place where she understood how far he was willing to go in his love for her, that he would waste his life. And the result is she had come to a new place of radical surrender beyond anything she had ever known before. That she was now willing, in response to his willingness to waste his life for her, she was now prepared to waste her life for him. Of course, waste is about excessiveness. And Jesus excessively, God so loved the world that he gave his only. And Jesus chose that. He surrendered to that. For the joy set before him, he despised the shame. And we were the joy that was set before him. And so he said, this is a story that's going to be told throughout all, everywhere the gospel is preached, is that Jesus was willing to go so far, he would waste it all for us. And his heart's desire is we'd waste it all for him. We'd waste our life on him. Just another, the highest place of surrender you can come to. And the interesting thing is that she anointed his head with oil. Whenever you would go into a home during that time, several things would happen. One is they would greet you. Have you ever seen Arabs greet? They'll go like this three times. What they're saying is as you enter my home, my heart, my conversation, my thinking, my attention is at your service completely. They would wash their feet. And Jesus said to those disciples in Luke 7, he said, you didn't even wash my feet or anoint my head with oil. And yet she has washed my feet with her oil and with her hair. Because the other thing they would do is they would take a little oil and anoint the head with oil. And in Scripture, that was always a sign of elevation, especially kingly elevation. And what they were saying to this guest who was coming into the house, you will be treated as a king in this household. And what she was saying is that I've now come to the place where fully, more than I've ever known before, I acknowledge you as the king of my heart and the king of my life. For anyone who would waste, go so far as to give their whole life, would waste their life for me, I'm prepared to waste my life for them. And history tells us that she did just that very thing for the next 30, 40 years of her life. I believe that God is doing a work. I believe there's an anointing being released. I believe that we're coming into a season where God's looking for wasted lovers of Christ. Who will anoint his head as oil. He won't just be king of part of their life or three-fourths of their life or most of their decisions, but they'll anoint his head with oil and then break the alabaster vial. Their future, everything will be at his feet. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.